All right. Remember, we're studying the word for heal in the Old Testament, and it's used three ways, but it's the same word, rapha, and it means to heal. It means that metaphorically heal from sin, and then it's metaphorically heal the land. I need a metaphorical healing. I want to go to Jeremiah 6. We're going to look for a minute at what it isn't. Anybody have any thoughts about what we studied last night regarding forgiveness? None of us knew that.
But to fully deal with something, and then there's real forgiveness. It's not just that.
Yeah, when you hide it or delete it, if you said yeah. It, first of all, it's not deleted.
Yeah.
It always goes in somewhere deep in your subconscious and causes you to forget your childhood.
Which was great, by the way.
Was? And the idea of and it causes these roots of bitterness to be present. And when the right stimulus hits, boom.
Yeah.
And so, and that is directly related to this thing about healing. Healing, if it's not complete, is meaningless. And healing means that there will be peace. And peace has to have as its component, it's the peace that passes all understanding. Therefore, it is the peace that is totally unique. It's the peace that is not in any way dependent on your successes or failures or your any sudden thing coming upon you. It's peace, the absence of againstness. And if you can, you can be healed of cancer and you're healed, you're not healed. You can be healed of, you can have your leg grow 3 inches or whatever WB does. But if it doesn't heal the issue of peace, then you're not healed. And so healing has as its component body, soul, and the whole range of these. Physical peace is healing.
So true healing encompasses the whole,
yeah.
All of them at once, not just one little issue.
All right. In Jeremiah 6, it talks about the destruction of Judah. You remember Israel was destroyed. Israel was the northern ten tribes. And because they had set up a golden calf, two golden calves, in the temple alongside the altar, that Israel was destroyed. Now, everybody in Israel didn't do that. Just Manasseh did, right? But everybody in Israel paid for it. Now, here he's talking about foretelling the destruction of Judah. And it's, O ye children, remember, the Judah are what's known as the Jews. Israel were the 10 northern tribes. What's known as the Jews, or Judah, is the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. And they had that area specifically just around Jerusalem. And everybody did it. They started calling them the Jews. And then the spiritual thing, the spiritual reality is Israel. But there's a distinction between Judaism or Jew and Israel, because Israel has been gone since 700 B.C. It's disappeared into the, and no matter how many white supremacist organizations or how many black Israelites say they're the lost 10 tribes or not. Because, anyway, everybody understand that? What don't you understand?
Since 700 B.C.?
Whenever they were...
Whenever
Manasseh... We can look it up. I don't know. It's a long time. Hundreds B.C. anyway. They got taken into captivity and they never returned. And then in 70 A.D., actually probably 135 A.D., the rest of Israel, the rest of Judah and Benjamin got scattered to the winds and have never returned. There's people that call themselves Jews. But then you, even if, let's assume that one of them could prove that they were a Jew by heritage, by genetics, which they can't because all of the genetic records were destroyed. But if, again, if one could prove that there was a genetic record, what good would it do them? Because Paul's definition of a Jew, he is a Jew who is one spiritually, not of the natural, whose circumcision is of the not of the flesh but of the heart. And the way you know you're a Jew spiritually is that you no longer need the praise of men. Are you here? That's Romans 2:28, if anybody wants to check me out. But anyway, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hoxron. For evil approaches out of the north in great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about, and they shall feed every one in his place. Prepare you war against her. Arise, let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Well, anyway, then he goes on to talk about the destruction. We'll spend all day studying that, because I'll get tempted to teach on the ones I don't want to teach about, so we're not going to do that. We're going to go right to... Shut up, John. Shut up. Whoever was the platinum. In verse 11, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and put upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Now you got to hear this. For they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there's no peace. So what we want to avoid at all cost is healing the wound slightly. Now you heal the wound slightly when you only address the physical. Peace? They have healed the wound of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. All right, let's go to this. Turn over to 8:11. It's just repeated. And this is a scripture that we used in the last word for last issue, because it talks about the idea that migrating birds know their course, but people don't, Israel doesn't. So, verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the turtle dove and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. Now, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least of them unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed. Now, can you, this is talking about us. This isn't just, 610 B.C. This is us. Everyone from the prophet to the priest dealeth falsely, dealeth covetously, seeking after their own. And for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, but they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. And so he repeated the same thing just a few pages later, or one page later. Let's go and see Ezekiel 13. Verse 6. Let's go up to verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, the prophets are like the foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Yeah, I mean, this could be written yesterday. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas as you say, the Lord saith it, however I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and have seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel or the promise. And you shall know that I am the Lord God, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, O great hailstone shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. So when you heal the daughter of the people slightly, in this context, you find a hole or a crack in the wall, and where they're instead of going inside the wall to find out what's there, you heal the wound slightly by daubing untempered mortar so you don't remember it. You got it? So you never go in and see the abominations that are done by you in the temple of the Lord. All the vain imaginings and idolatry that's written on the walls of your subconscious and conscious minds. Oh no, I'm not going down there. I'm going to fix it. And in fact, there's a whole raft of people that are welcome that are anxious to fix it with me. And the daubing it with untempered mortar is every friggin' aspect of psychobabble that you can imagine. Well, this is what I think you should do about that. Don't you love that? Love to give advice, especially when somebody pays attention. Yeah, look at me. I gave advice. I helped put untempered mortar to fix that wall of that guy over there so I wouldn't have to look in my own. I want to keep silent. I'm not going to let anybody see in there. So I'll just heal it lightly by putting... In fact, I'll even put the untempered mortar on there, on that wall, and then I'm going to do like they do on these interior decorator guys. You can make it look like it's just like the rest of the wall. You can't even tell anybody put anything up there. I can hit the delete button. So, the essence of what I want you to take away from this morning is don't be concerned with healing slightly. Putting toilet paper on a cut. Anybody understand? Anybody not understand?
This helps me a lot because when we pray Sunday nights, it's always a thing about praying for somebody to just be made okay physically. It's just not, that's not right, and I know that. But I don't have the language to express that sometimes. This broke a lot of ground in me. That one word...
Slightly.
Yeah, one word covers... You got to expand it.
That's what's... One of the main things that's so cool about the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in us," because you just don't know what to pray most of the time.
Well, here's the point. This is continuing on here in verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, O great hailstone shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubers wherewith you have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, and neither they that daubed it, to wit the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord. Do you understand that it's impossible for there to be peace to anything after the flesh? That you have to speak the cross so that people will understand the vanity and futility of human effort, so that they will understand and come to know the only true peace, which is Christ. He is peace. But especially have the intellectual integrity to know and to speak honestly with yourself. If you've got some great idea or some great plan, at least have the courage to share it. Instead of sitting there in the quietness of your closet, which isn't even the closet of God, God's closet, God's prayer closet is under the wings of the cherubim in the secret pavilion of the Most High. Amen? What?
I didn't hear any amen.
No, I bet he said amen over here. I don't know about that group over there. But.
The cheap seats.
Carlson didn't say amen.
I did. Yeah, but she didn't mean it.
She said amen in my mind.
I nodded internally.
It's busy docking.
I'm going to go. This hasn't been a good morning. It wasn't a good night. Anybody have anything else?
I saw the love of God in this last part. It's like His wrath and wiping out things and knocking stuff down and whatever. It's like that's His love, because if He didn't do that, He could just do nothing. Just ignore it.
Well, he'd go the way of the curse. I mean, yeah. That's the way of man.
And that's, He cares so much. You know, it says wrath, but it's actually that's His concern for
His bride, not the human flesh.
Oh, no.
He didn't even see it.
Yeah, he hates
it. I just love it when people say God just loves you, and when they tell me that when I was on radio and television. Oh, God loves you so much that He sent His only Son. And if you were the only person on the earth, He would send His Son for you. I just couldn't take it. I said, that's crap. Because He can't love the curse. He can't love sin. And sin isn't what we do, it's what we are. Therefore, the cross is the love of God. But I hope you guys see this. He cannot love sin. Well, he hates sin but loves a sinner. What the hell does that mean? Oh, it's like I said last night. Oh, I love people. I'm a people person. I just love people. Yeah, as long as they meet your idolatry and they behave the way you want them to.
He hates sin but loves the sinner means I don't have to die.
Yeah. And everybody's forgiven because Jesus shed a drop of His blood. No, everybody's forgiven because He died. And when He died, the whole human race died. And therefore, if you are dead, your sin is forgiven. Not some sloppy crap of, oh, His sin is covered. It cost Him everything. And as He is in the world, so are we. That's why you must see that you were the one on the cross. That's the only way you can partake of the resurrection. And die to the idiot crap that goes on in your mind. Oh, I got these hopes and dreams. How come nobody else says this? Well, I should. I've heard that so many times. How come nobody else says it? I don't know. Go show me where it doesn't say that in the Bible. Well, I can show you a half scripture over here where it says. That's what you should have been here, for those of you that weren't, for the first 5 or 6 years of our elders. No, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Anybody else? Michael, you look troubled.
What you just said, I don't know what that means.
What?
The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Go to Matthew 11. Well, it's not going to be much longer. I'm just going to show it to you, then you can study it.
Oh, yeah, I know that it's a scripture.
Uh-huh.
I know that it's a scripture.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That means everything in the Law and Prophets ended with John. And so anything else that you goes on in your little mind is just crap. And it's violent to destroy that.
Oh, you just don't have respect for me, Ollie. You're right.
That's how everything started from the days of John the Baptist, as if it wasn't before.
Well, he's saying that because that's when the kingdom, that's fulfilled. John the Baptist fulfilled. The ministry of Elijah. So the type was over. The type was gone. The parable was finished.
And now it's the battle is believing as opposed to.
Yeah, the only battle is in you. It has nothing to do with anything you can sense. It's no. I mean, do you understand that according to the words of Christ, that you have to love the radical Muslims that are trying to kill us? Love's a verb, action. You have to sacrifice your very existence for their benefit. Oh no, that can't be true. That doesn't give you a spiritual heart on. I didn't say that. I said Harry loves it when he talked about going out. Take a big guy quick. I'm tired. Yeah, before I say something.